Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday. If you'd like to get in touch, let's do it on the CSpire text line, 601-879-4395. Let's not forget Rhino down there, by the way, in Studio X, taking care of us, making sure everything runs properly. If anything goes wrong, as always, we do not blame Rhino. We blame me. It was always my fault. Mississippi State has a new head coach. His name is Jeff Lebby. And with Jeff Lebby comes the promise of touchdowns and offense and explosive plays and things Mississippi State fans didn't get to see much of this past football season, and really these past few football seasons. And if you were to ask me before this search started, you know, what should Mississippi State be looking for in a head coach, I would tell you that Jeff Lebby checks a lot of boxes for you. Obviously, not a sitting head coach, and I thought that was important for Mississippi State, but once it became obvious the top targets there were going to stay put or we're not going to take the Mississippi State job, then Jeff Lebby was probably the best option there amongst the coordinators. I didn't think State wanted to go defense again. I think they really wanted to put a focus on offense, on excitement. If you've listened to Lebby's comments, if you listen to Zach Selman's, you keep hearing things about swag, cool, showtime, putting on a show. It's obvious Mississippi State, look, I'm not saying they listen to this show or the Thunder and Lightning podcast, but they should. But it's obvious that the things we were talking about State lacking juice and State lacking excitement and State not being an entertaining product for the past 12 months have been heard. And Zach Selman went out to find a guy that he thought could not only win a lot of football games, but could make those football games exciting. You know, this is a time we talk about all the time of fighting the couch, of fighting the television. You want to get people into the stadium, but you get them in there with touchdowns. You get them in there with wins. You know, if you're a fan of college football, you know, if you're an Iowa fan, your team's 10-2. That's a great season. And you love the end results, but those games are just torturous to watch. Mississippi State wanted to find a way to win games and be exciting to watch. And so that's why they've handed the reins over to Jeff Lebby now here in Starkville. For me personally, like I said, I think he checks a lot of the boxes Mississippi State wanted to find. A young guy. An offensive guy who's presided over statistically dominant offenses for the past 6 years. A guy who has a reputation as a good recruiter. A guy who will attract good quarterback talent to your program because those quarterbacks know they're going to be put into a system that allows them a lot of opportunities, a lot of freedom, the ability to show off the arm, the ability to show what they can do in the passing game. A guy who's, you know, coached under some big-time play callers. Leave the off-the-field stuff beside with Art Briles. That guy's an outstanding offensive football coach. Then Josh Heupel, and then Lane Kiffin. And then when given the keys to the kingdom at Oklahoma as an offensive coordinator and left kind of alone by his head coach, Brent Venables, who is a defensive guy, his offense this year is fourth nationally in offense, in total offense, in yardage, and third nationally in scoring offense. So the resume is very good, in my opinion, for Jeff Lebby. On paper, it appears to be a guy who can have great success. Now, that said, he is a first-time head coach. And you never know. You never know. You know, do you have your next Dan Mullen or do you have your next Joe Moorhead? That's going to be the question. We're not going to be able to answer that question until we get into the season. And Jeff Libby has a lot of work to do, primarily at the quarterback position. Will Rogers is gone. He is in the transfer portal. His last game at Mississippi State was in the Egg Bowl. Long, great career. He will leave Starkville as the SEC's second all-time leading passer, and he has basically every passing record worth talking about in the Mississippi State record book. But his time in Starkville is done. Mike Wright, I like Mike Wright a lot. I think he's a good athlete. I think he's an outstanding student, an outstanding teammate. He brings a lot to your locker room, but we know that he is not an SEC quarterback. We saw that this year in the way that he played when given the opportunity. I like Chris Parson. I think he's an exciting young player. I think we saw some glimpses of him and the things that he can do in the future, but he is not ready to take the reins of an SEC team as a redshirt freshman. That's his time will come, but it is not this time. So, who is that quarterback going to be? He played somewhere else in 2023. Did he play at Oklahoma? Did he play at Arkansas? Did he play at Coastal Carolina? Did he play at Kansas State? These are some of the names we're going to be hearing over the next few weeks. Every quarterback that enters the portal, especially every Power 5 or reasonably successful quarterback at a Group of 5 school, is going to be linked in some way with Mississippi State. Because everybody knows Mississippi State's looking for a quarterback. And everybody knows that Jeff Lebby is looking for a quarterback. And that's something that Mississippi State fans should feel pretty good about. Lebby will bring in a quality quarterback. He will put some great weapons around them. State has some weapons. You know, I think next year you're going to see Tulu Griffin, Xavion Thomas, Creed Whittemore. Unleashed isn't the right word, right? Because I'm not saying these guys are going to be 1,000-yard receivers anyway. But you're going to see them take a step forward. You're going to see what they can do in an offense that is designed to use their skills in a better fashion. And I think that, you know, they need to find I like Seth Davis a lot as a running back in this offense. I think he fits what Lebby, again, wants to do. You know, a smaller running back for sure, but a guy who can, you know, give you those explosive plays. He has that kind of breakaway, elusive ability. So he, you know, he has some opportunities here. But make no mistake about it, and there's a lot of unknown for Mississippi State. And even if you're able to get some key guys in there and you're able to reshape this team through the transfer portal, it's going to be a tough year one, I think, for Jeff Lebby. I think getting to a bowl game in year one at 6-6, right now, he could surprise me with some of the transfers he's able to bring in. But I think, you know, right now, if you said, Brian, what do you think about 2024? If State's 6-6, I think they can win all their non-conference games, although they have a couple of tough ones. You know, Toledo is a really good Group of Five team. They're 11-1 this year. We'll see what they look like next year. Arizona State on the road, it's always tough to win on the road. And then your conference schedule, yeah, you lose Alabama and LSU, but you pick up Georgia and Texas. So that's kind of a wash. But, you know, Florida, I don't have a whole lot of belief in Arkansas next year. Is Missouri a one-year flash in the pan, or are they going to be good? Can you win at can you beat Texas A&M? What are they going to be next year? State has some opportunities there to get a couple of conference wins. And who knows, maybe Jeff Lebby can surprise you and do a little bit more. But if nothing else, I feel like the program, I hesitate to say it's under solid footing right now, because there are some cracks in the foundation that Lebby's going to have to patch up. It's not a total rebuild by any stretch of the imagination. But there are some things that Jeff Lebby is going to have to do and get right before you can sit there and say with any confidence Mississippi State's going to be back amongst the, you know, say mid-tier of the SEC with a chance to have those special seasons that take you into a 12-team college football playoff. State missed out on that opportunity this year. This was a veteran-laden team. With the right coaching, they probably had an opportunity to be a top 25 team and challenge for, you know, a good bowl game. It didn't work out that way. And now if you're Mississippi State, you've missed out on your two. I always talk about that cycle and those five-year cycles, 2018, 2023, were your opportunities. You didn't take advantage. So it might be a few years before you're back up to do that. Or Jeff Levy could come in, find some real key players in the portal, and put together a great team and be back a little faster than you think. There's a lot of unknown right now with Jeff Levy, with Mississippi State, with what this team is going to look like next season. We are 21 days away. 3 weeks from today is signing day. So we'll see what that high school class looks like, and then the transfer portal. And Mississippi State, you know, if you're a Mississippi State fan who's made fun of Ole Miss, oh, they've taken too many transfers, well, you're going to have to eat some words because State's going to look like that this year too. They're going to be in the 20 transfer range, if I had to guess. They are going to have to reshape this roster in quite a few ways. So we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back. We'll talk a little recruiting. We'll talk a little bit more about Jeff Levy in just a minute. We'll be back in just a few. This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder. Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder, well, now you've got it.
It's Thunder and Lightning. Here on Super Talk Mississippi, I'm Brian Haydad on a Wednesday evening with you. Thanks for joining me. 601-879-4395. That's the C Spire text line. You can get in touch with the show. Got some text in here now. Bubba and Starkville, how much will State pay for a top-rated quarterback? That's the question on who they can get. Yeah, it's all about NIL. It's all about money. You saw Matt Rule's comments. I don't know if I totally agree with what Matt Rule's saying there. $2 million. I don't know about that. But regardless, it's going to cost. It's going to cost. And so, you know, good thing State has the money. And we've been talking about the Bulldog Initiative, and I feel like there's a lot of doubters out there, but you know, they just completed their winning drive campaign for the matching donations. So that's an extra $2 million in the coffers there. They're probably, if you know, what I'm told is correct, and I have no reason to believe that it isn't, State's sitting around $10 million in NIL money right now. And that money, that number is growing every day for Mississippi State. They've done a really, really good job as of late of getting people on board. And I think a lot of that has to do with Zach Selman. I think a lot of that has to do with having an athletic director who embraces NIL and getting that done, as opposed to talking about challenges and having to do things a different way and you know, unsustainable models. You know, let other people worry about what the model is. What is the model right now? That's your job. Take care of it now instead of, you know, scurrying out the back door. So Selman's done a good job with that. Chase from Columbus, I'm just looking for improved. I like to see some discipline. I like to see if the offense is promising, waiting on recruiting to catch up to the scheme. I think if this upcoming year looks a little bit like Dan Mullen's first year, everybody's in a good mood. You go back to Mullen's first year, they were 5-7. Obviously, they beat Ole Miss in the Egg Bowl. That was a huge win. But, you know, they lost a couple of non-conference games. They played a really tough non-conference schedule. They played a top 25-ranked Georgia Tech team and a top 25-ranked Houston team. Next year's non-conference schedule is a little bit softer. Now, the conference schedule is very difficult. But if this team, you know, if they lose games 45-35 next year, if they're scoring points but they just can't get some stops, which is what we thought we were going to see with Leach, honestly, right? We thought, you know, State would lose games, high-scoring games, and they never did. They lost. The defense was good under Mike Leach, but the offense took some time to catch up. So we'll see if that's the case here. But, yeah, if State's 6-6 next year, I don't think there's going to be a lot of complaining. At least there shouldn't be, in my opinion. Just my opinion, but I think we're going to be closer to the 30 number in the portal, but that's okay. You could be right. You could very easily be right on that number. It's going to be a big number for Mississippi State trying to get this roster. I mean, think about just off the top of our heads, right? We don't even have to think that hard, but Will Rogers is gone. Bukie Watson, Jet Johnson, those guys are out of eligibility. That's 250 tackles you've got to replace. Jaden Crumity and Nathan Pickering are gone. Sean Preston is gone. DeCamion Richardson said he's coming back, but I mean, you've got to reshape that secondary in some ways. I mean, DeMonte Russell is gone. So your whole starting defensive line is gone. Cole Smith, Nick Jones, Cam Jones. These guys are all gone. You know, a lot of your dollar bill is gone. Your offensive line that needs to be reshaped. There's a lot of people you're going to have to find spots for. So yeah, you could very easily see up to 30 people in the portal. And we'll see from there. Bubba and Starville again. Levy will call the plays, right? And defensive coordinator. No word on the defensive coordinator yet. I expect those guys, you know, with the early signing day being 3 weeks from today, you got to get your people in. You don't have time to waste. You probably need to have a full staff by this time next week, because you've got guys coming in for visits. You've got players you want to get committed. They're not going to commit when they don't know who their coaches are going to be. So for State, yeah, DC, I don't know who that's going to be yet. We'll see. I'm sure names will start popping up. But Levy did say he's calling the plays, and I think that's the right move. You know, that's how you got to the dance, was you had a reputation as an elite play caller. So stick with it. Stick with what works. And you know, if you feel like next year, if you feel as you get through the season, hey, this isn't really working and I don't have as much grasp on my program as I want because I'm too focused on the game planning here, I'm too focused on the calling of the plays, then you can always change. You know, this isn't a Zach Arnett situation. Jeff Lebby's going to get a few years. So he's got some time to tinker, I guess, would be the way to say it. And we'll see where it takes him. So, you know, when you talk about recruiting, like I said, we're going to start with the quarterbacks here in the portal. The name that people keep throwing out is Dillon Gabriel, who was Oklahoma's quarterback these past two seasons. Prior to that, he was at Central Florida, was recruited by Jeff Lebby, almost was at Ole Miss, was going to go to Ole Miss, and then Lebby takes the Oklahoma job. He transfers to UCLA, and then when Lebby gets that Oklahoma job, he goes to Oklahoma with him. So he's been around a little bit. But that's the nature of the, this is, you know, nowadays, you know, a lot of your football players, college football players, are going to be like some of your favorite major leaguers. They played for some teams, you know. Their baseball card has got a lot of teams on the back of it. Gabriel is a guy who's eligible, I believe, as a grad transfer. Not currently in the portal, so there's always that. But there's a lot of talk at Oklahoma that they're ready to move on. They have a five-star freshman, Jackson Arnold, and they're ready to go ahead and turn the reins over to him at this point. And so Gabriel might make sense. He's kind of followed Lebby around. He knows the Lebby system. He knows he can be successful in that system. So that's one to follow. Will Howard, the Kansas State quarterback, is an interesting potential guy. Now, he is in the transfer portal. Quarterback who can make some things happen with his legs. That's going to be very key in the Lebby system. They want a running quarterback. If you didn't watch a lot of Oklahoma, if you live here in Mississippi and you didn't watch a lot of Oklahoma, well, I'm sure a couple years ago you watched a lot of Ole Miss. That's the Jeff Lebby, you know, that's Lane Kiffin's offense with Jeff Lebby's fingerprints on it. What Matt Corral was able to do, that's asking a lot, because Matt Corral had a fantastic Ole Miss career. But you think about the big arm and the ability to make plays with your legs, that's the Jeff Lebby quarterback. So if you're asking why Will Rogers, you know, doesn't want to see what's going to happen with Jeff Lebby, that's your answer. Will Rogers, not a quarterback with a big arm, not a quarterback who can make things happen with his legs. Talented quarterback, can do a lot of things for you, but those are two things where he's just not capable in those things. So he moves on. So Will Howard is a guy who can do those things. So he will be one to keep an eye on. We talked about Grayson McCall a little earlier on Sports Talk Mississippi. Great runner, runs that option system that Jamie Chadwell ran at Coastal Carolina all those years. But not the most plus thrower in the world. So I don't know that he's a huge consideration for Mississippi State. A very interesting name to me is KJ Jefferson. So first off, just from a content standpoint, from a storytelling standpoint, I love it. Mississippi kid, sort of shunned by Mississippi State and Ole Miss, coming out of high school at North Panola, goes to Arkansas, has a great career there. This past season, not his best year. Their offensive coaching went way downhill from Kendall Briles to Dan Enos. And maybe now he looks to return to his home state for his final year. One thing I always said about KJ Jefferson is that Dan Mullen had been at Mississippi State when he was being recruited. No chance he goes anywhere but Mississippi State. That guy was a prototypical Dan Mullen quarterback. Now, he had fantastic years in 2021 and 2022. He was one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC. But he took a step back last year. There's no getting around that. And he looked, at times, disinterested. Would he come back to Mississippi State? Would he come to Mississippi State and say, I want to have one great year here in my home state and put in the effort and the work to do that? If he could, that would be a fantastic story. Be a tremendous from a content and a storytelling standpoint. And if KJ Jefferson is kind of the floor for Mississippi State, if that's, you know, hey, we missed out on a couple other guys, but we can get KJ. I mean, that's a good get to have. That's a good viable option for Mississippi State. I don't think he's State's first call, but if he was interested in Mississippi State and you couldn't, you know, you missed out on a guy like Dylan Gabriel and you missed out on Will Howard and maybe another guy. You would not want to say no to KJ Jefferson. I think he could be a very effective player for Mississippi State. I think he would be excited to come to Mississippi State too. I think he would like to play his last year in his home state and give that gift to his family. So quarterback recruiting is going to be the key to everything else too, you know, because great receivers, great linemen, they want to play with great quarterbacks. They want to play in offenses that they know are going to be successful, and the quarterback is the key to that, especially in this Jeff Lebby offense. You know, you're going to have to find a guy who can pull the trigger on those deep, deep throws, who can make plays happen when things do break down, can make plays happen with their legs. So those guys are out there. Portal recruiting is going to be this year. I've said it for the past couple of years that it keeps getting crazier. I feel like eventually it will balance out. Eventually it's gonna level off, and you'll say, okay, you're not gonna see as many guys in the portal this year. And that's not this year. This year is gonna be a crazy year in the portal. So we'll see where it goes. Mississippi State is going to get a quarterback out of the portal, and when we talked to Jeff Lebby Monday night at his press conference, he said he felt very confident they would be able to get a good one out of the portal. Maybe he's already talked to some people. Maybe he's already got some ideas along those lines. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Let's talk some hoops when we come back. Not a great night for Mississippi State last night in Atlanta, Georgia, at Georgia Tech. What happened there and where do they go from there? Let's talk about it when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. If you're a podcast fan, please subscribe to the Thunder and Lightning podcast. It's available wherever you get podcasts. It's also available at supertalk.fm. And as always, if you will be kind enough to leave a 5-star review, I'll let you say whatever you want about me. Don't care. 5-star review, though. That's the deal. I wasn't expecting this, Rhino. I'm going to make you work a little bit there, but I'm going to need the Cruton song. If you could tee that up for us just whenever you can, we'll get into that because we got some breaking news.
Cruton, 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 Cruton. Cruton, 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 Cruton.
All right, Mississippi State picks up a commitment from junior college running back Johnny Daniels out of Colin Community College down there in Copiah County. Our good friend Coach Glenn Davis, who we get the chance to visit with every so often, who used to coach running backs at Mississippi State under Jackie Sherrill. So you would think he would know what a good SEC running back is going to look like. But he is added to the 2024 class as of now. No ranking yet from 24/7, they're kind of notoriously slow on the JUCO guys, so we'll see what happens there. But State has added another commitment to the class there, so I don't expect that to be the last one in the coming days as we get closer and closer to to signing day. All right, let's talk some hoops. Not a good night last night in Atlanta, Georgia. And I'll just go ahead and tell you right now that that game, Mississippi State, Georgia Tech, when we get to March, we're going to be looking at that and circling it as, you know, if State is a 7 seed versus a 5 seed, that game could play a role. Because I don't think that's a very good Georgia Tech team. But Mississippi State just showed up really for the first time under Chris Chans. They didn't look like they were ready to play. They did not have that same edge and attitude that they have been playing with under Chans all this time. Now, defensively, they were okay. They only gave up the 65 points or 67 points. But offensively, just miserable and just settling for three-pointers, not getting their touches down in the post. And they had some breaks go against them, but that's part of winning and losing is you got to make those breaks happen. So I'm not going to overreact. You know, I don't think it's over or anything. Stop saying it's over. No, I do think that this is still a very good basketball team. They'll be fine. They'll shake that off. I do think that, you know, this game Sunday against Southern University, Mississippi State will come out very focused. If I had to guess, this is cliche. Now, I know it's cliche. You have a loss, and they're like, man, I wouldn't want to be at practice the next week, but I really wouldn't want to be with Chris Chans after that game. I feel like he will those practices will have a little edge to them this week. I still like what I'm seeing from this basketball team, though. I still like that the way they play. I still like the way that they you know, have been finding new guys. All of their newcomers seem to be finding a fit. Hubbard, Fort, Scott, Bell. The guy Andrew Taylor, though, I don't know what's the deal there. That's a very surprising situation. Now, maybe it'll work itself out, and by the end of the season, he'll be a big-time contributor. But, you know, was told that he was asked if he wanted to go in the game last weekend and turned it down. And that's something you don't hear. You know, you don't want minutes. You don't want to get out there on the court and try to, you know, work through your issues. That's a very concerning idea, especially for a guy that, you know, you go back and listen to me talk about this basketball team in the preseason. I thought Andrew Taylor was going to be a huge contributor. This is a guy who averaged 20 points a game last year at Marshall. And, you know, you think about if Mississippi State got a wide receiver from Marshall and he has a 1,000-yard receiver, I wouldn't expect him to be a 1,000-yard receiver at Mississippi State because there is a huge level of competition difference in those two college football programs. But in college basketball, it's not as great. And there are a lot of great mid-major programs out there, and there are a lot of great mid-major basketball players out there who can come in year one and play at the SEC level, no questions asked, no doubt about it. And I thought Taylor was going to be one of those guys, and he has not been thus far. Has not been thus far. And so the fact that you think about where I was back in July, right, and I'm thinking, okay, this Taylor kid's going to be a big contributor for State, and obviously they have Tolu Smith, who's the best, you know, big man in the SEC, and they don't have either one of those guys through injury or just inability, and they're still winning games. I mean, that's pretty good. They're pretty good. Hubbard has been a lot better early on than I thought he would be. Trey Ford has given them some moments. He hasn't played well since the first couple of games. He was really, really good, and he's taken a step back there. They need to find a little bit, you know, more consistency from him. Deshaun Davis, though, Cam Matthews, DJ Jeffries, you kind of know what you're getting from those guys. Jimmy Bell has been a big, big positive surprise for Mississippi State thus far. Been very pleased with seeing what we see from him. But we talked about in the offseason that, you know, even without Tolu, they were, you know, they didn't have a whole ton of wiggle room in terms of non-conference losses. There was definitely not going to be they couldn't lose 5 games in the non-conference and then just count on the committee to say, well, you know, they didn't have Tolu Smith. That's not going to happen. So you look at this remaining schedule, you know, this game with Southern, then they're in Atlanta to play Tulane, back to Atlanta, but not at Georgia Tech's campus. Murray State, North Texas, then up to New Jersey to play Rutgers, and then they finish out non-conference home against Bethune-Cookman. They can't drop another one. One is probably the maximum they could drop and still feel really good about where they were going into conference play. Now, there's a lot. I wouldn't say there's a lot of smoke, but I would say that there is some smoke that Tolu Smith could be back a little earlier than originally projected. that he could be back at the start of conference play. So that's pretty good. That's good news, obviously, for Mississippi State. So we'll see. We'll see where it takes them. But like I said, last night, I don't think it was a talent issue for Mississippi State. I don't think I hate saying this kind of thing. The whole, I think the better team lost. But I mean, I think when we look back at the end of the season, Mississippi State will be in the NCAA tournament and Georgia Tech will not. And so it was just a bad night. You can have bad nights. You know, they happen. Every team has one. No one's going undefeated anymore. You know, not since 1976 has that been a thing in college basketball. You've had some get close. Some take it all the way to the very end, but nobody's been able to pull it off yet. So tough game for Mississippi State. They you know, like I said, they got to refocus. They're back on the court on Sunday, and then they'll kind of go from there. So speaking of the hoops, Mississippi State women at the end of the first quarter with a 2-point lead over the Miami Hurricanes. They're playing in the women's side now of the SEC-ACC Challenge. State only playing 7 players tonight. A couple of injuries and an illness have that roster kind of strapped as far as depth goes. So they'll have some work to do to hold on to that lead there against a pretty good Miami team in the Humphrey Coliseum. So, but they do have Sam Purcell back. He missed us. Was it Sunday's game against Tulsa? He had an illness there. Maybe he should stay away though. They won by 50 points. Somebody tell Sam, like, yeah, they got it. They got it without you. We'll see how that goes. So, women's basketball off to a good start, too. Both teams ranked in the top 25. Both teams looking like they're going to be, you know, like I said, contenders throughout the year in the conference and have some opportunities, you know, to play for, not only play for the tournament, to play for seeding. And be those kind of teams that, you know, where you're not looking at bubble watch every 5 minutes, where you're not updating the bracketology every time it comes out. Like, where are we? You know, you're just like, all right, we're in there. I'll look at the seed later. It's been a while for Mississippi State, the men, for that. You know, it's been since Quindary Weatherspoon's senior year, where they were just, you know, they at the end of December, they were in, and they stayed in the whole way. And it was just never a worry for anybody. The next year was all about the bubble. I remember doing bubble updates every week on supertalk.fm and just like, okay, here's what they are and here's what they're projected and this, that. And so, yeah, that's not what you want. You'd rather just not have to deal with it. So we'll see if that's the case for Mississippi State as this season goes along. So I still like the team though. Don't sweat. Bad night. They'll shake it off. Now they string together a couple bad nights. We'll change. We'll turn the car around. You know, as always, one of our rules here on Thunder and Lightning: we get new information, we can change our mind. I don't feel like I got new information last night. I feel like I saw a blip. I saw an outlier. That's where I am. I could be wrong. Been wrong before. Man, have I been wrong before? How many times? When we come back, I have a thank you to pass along, and it's to all of you. So if you enjoy getting thank yous, stay tuned. We'll talk a little bit about that when we come back, and some final thoughts on Jeff Lebby as well. This is Thunder and Lightning. We are live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
Let's wrap it up here on Thunder and Lightning, here on Super Talk Mississippi. I was saying earlier today to some friends, I was like, this feels like the first day of the off season for me. And I guess it kind of is, but having, what, 8 home games this year, a coaching change, now, a search that lasted a week and a half, everything else going on. I'm not trying to say for a second that I work hard. I want to make that clear. I have a cush job. I will never deny that. But for a cush job, there's been some difficulties this year. There's been some work to do. So, what I wanted to say though was thank you. Today is, if you're a Spotify user, and a lot of you are, today is Spotify Wrapped Day. And what that is, if you're not a Spotify user, is basically Spotify tells you, hey, these are all the songs you've listened to this year on our app, and these are all the podcasts you've listened to this year on our app. And so I always look forward to this day because I get a lot of great messages on Twitter, people saying, hey, here you are, you're my number one podcast. Hey, here's all the minutes I've listened to you. There was one guy today. Now, Spotify also sends out a thing to creators so I can see how many episodes we did and what all my numbers and stuff. So according to Spotify, we had 11,500 minutes of podcast in the past year. Okay, so 11,500 minutes of me and Robbie Falk talking to provide content. And there was one guy who sent a tweet with his screen grab that he listened to 12,400 minutes, which means he listened to every minute of every podcast and somehow also found something interesting enough to go back and listen to it for 900 more minutes. Shout out to that guy. Appreciate that. Appreciate all of you out there. Just looking at our numbers here, we were up 88% over last year in terms of streams. 2,300 people had us in their top 10 podcast, 2,000 in their top 5, and just under 1,000 people, we were the number one podcast for them. Now, I know there's a lot of Mississippi State podcasts out there, but Robbie and I work really hard to try to make ours the best podcast out there, and we really appreciate all you guys tuning in on a daily basis. We have a lot of fun doing it. We have a lot of good times doing it, and we're going to continue to do it in 2024. And we've still got a lot of podcasts left for 2023 as well. We've still got coaches to get hired here at Mississippi State. There's still recruits to bring in at Mississippi State. There's still plenty of basketball games left to be played in this calendar year. So, again, thank you, thank you, thank you for all you guys who tune in and listen. And if you like our show, tell a friend. And if you don't, tell an enemy. And we will continue to keep going here on Thunder and Lightning and on this live show as well. And I once again want to thank everybody at Super Talk for providing me this awesome platform to come in here and talk to you guys about Mississippi State sports. I really enjoy it. Except for this one guy who said he would much rather have the Lars Larson show on right now. Sorry. It's available online. You can always just listen to it on your, somewhere else. So he says, we could do this show during 3 to 6 if we didn't spend so much time talking about cooking and water balloon tossing. Well, people want to hear about cooking and water balloon tossing, sir. Those are some of the times we get the most interaction with our fans here on the Ceasefire text line. So we're going to keep doing it. And I'll tell you what you can do about it. Nothing. And like it. There we go. Always love Spotify Rap Day. You will never guess who my number one musical artist was on Spotify Rap today. It was the WWE. I listen to a lot of wrestling theme music. Right before I come into the show, I'm just like, let's go. I'll play Head of the Table just to get ready for the show. So, I can be acknowledged here. And then the rest of the bands were pretty normal. Alice in Chains, Van Halen. Do you do Spotify, Rana?
I do not.
See, I would love to hear your Wrapped. I would love to hear who's the artist. Who do you think it is?
Oh, there's no telling.
Yeah, you keep the variety.
Oh yeah,
I got you. So, all right, I'm trying to see if I can get one more score update for you guys before we get out of here on the women's game. State's on a 13-2 run, so they're up 6 now, 35-29 in the second quarter. So that's good to see. And it's going to be a tough game for them. Like I said, only playing 7 players tonight. So if they can get that win, that would be a huge win for Sam Purcell and his ladies there. Thunder and Lightning tomorrow. Talk a little coaching staff. Chad Bumpus and David Turner are back. Is anybody else going to be back? Is anybody else coming in? We'll talk about that. There's going to be plenty of recruiting talk. especially here in the city of Starkville. The recruitment for Stonka Burnside is about to get after it. He announced today to my co-host partner, Robbie Falk, that it's got a top two, and it's Mississippi State and Ole Miss. Here we go. Here we go. We'll see who wins that battle in the end for one of the state's top football players. Guys, I really appreciate you tuning in on a Wednesday night, and we'll be back with you tomorrow on Sports Talk Mississippi. For Rhino down there in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks again for listening to Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.